Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom on this cloudy day in Denver, Colorado. I believe we're going to get some moisture, and it's already snowed in the mountains. So we're looking at fall. Yes, we are. And I'm looking forward to it, because what we have ahead of us are such beautiful days, and God has created it for you, you, my friend. So do not be afraid. God says to you, I am with you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you, from Isaiah 43. Oh, for instance, when Erica Kirk demanded to see Charlie's body after he had been shot, such a strong woman of faith. And when they showed him his body, his eyes were still half open, and he was looking to the heavens. He was looking for something that is not possible on this earth. He was looking toward a heavenly city. And that's what we have. Whatever, however, and whatever we go through, and however we die, that city is right there. The minute that bullet hit his neck and he died, he was with the Lord Jesus, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, it's so wonderful to serve him, isn't it? In the other part of Isaiah 43, it says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am with you. Oh, what a wonderful reassurance on this cloudy day to know that God is with you no matter what happens in your life. He is with you. Call on his name and he will be right there. Holy Spirit is in you. In him, you live and move and have your being. And I'm so grateful for that. Let's go through our Monday Bible slogan. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it tells me to do. This is my Bible. It has given me new life. It is the Word of God. And you can reach us by going to Barbara@freedomstreet.org or Kimberly@freedomstreet.org or hello@freedomstreet.org. If you would like to contact us and write us anything, questions or opinions, that's where you get hold of us, at freedomstreet.org. And if you'd like to listen to radio shows, you can hit the resources on that website, and you will listen to radio shows. Also, you can click on Kimberly's blogs under Teaching Voices of Freedom, and she has been blogging there. I'm so grateful to come to you live, because sometimes it's really important to feel each other's, sense each other's emotions. And I'm here for you. I really am. And if you would like to contact me, you can either call me after the program at 1-877-917-7256, or, as I said before, at Barbara@freedomstreet.org. Our memory verse for this week, as I was praying over the weekend, there was only one verse that came to me, and that's Romans 15, verse 13. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for getting me through this program. And it's just a beautiful promise. Now may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of Holy Spirit. And such a beautiful promise, and it's one that says he is the God of all hope. When there's no hope left, he will give you that hope and fill you up with joy and peace in the meantime. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord God. And in the Passion Translation, Romans 15, I'm going to go right before into the 12th verse, Romans 15, 12, because it's talking about the very time Isaiah was writing Isaiah 22, verse 22. I'm trying to get these references off the top of my head. Thank you, Lord. And he's saying here, from Isaiah, an heir to David's throne will emerge, and he will rise up as ruler over all the non-Jewish nations. Boy, there's a lot of them here. But God has grafted us in, praise the Lord, for all their hopes will be met in him. All your hopes will be met in Jesus. And now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. Your circumstances might not be ideal, friend, but he is radiating you with hope and reassurance that he is with you. God punished his people in the Old Testament as a result of their wrongdoing. That's not what it's happening in the New Testament. By grace. Oh, thank you, Father, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, because we do things every day. You know, whether it's slander, whether it's gossip, whether it's lying, whether it's cheating, God has covered us with his grace. And as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Isaiah 1, verse 5, Isaiah tells us, my people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Oh, if you're inviting punishment into your life, oh, ask the Lord to cover you with his grace. Oh, because you don't need to be punished if you're in the Lord Jesus. Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured. Your thoughts give in to the devil and his schemes, and your heart is sick. You who are battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds without any soothing ointments or bandages. And this is a metaphor of sin, the sinful condition of people. People that have no hope. People that have no salvation. People that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so grateful. Yesterday, as I was watching for 5 hours, it was just like it was a 2-hour program instead of 5 hours. So much wonderful speaking of our Lord Jesus. I mean, they honored him. I was raising my hands and said, Lord, receive your honor. Receive your glory. You who have been ignored and rejected for so long by so many people, receive the honor today and the glory that you deserve. And as they were talking about Charlie, all 90,000 in that Colosseum, there was an overflow into another Colosseum next door, but 90,000 people and 100 million watched that yesterday. This one man influenced millions of people. And you say you don't have any influence in your life? Oh, yes, you do. And we're going to rise up and tell the whole world that Jesus is Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. Praise the Lord. Oh, and God is wanting to render first aid and comfort to his people. Well, I received over the weekend an email from my friend Mark in Florida. And I usually don't talk about political things in my program. I mean, for the whole program. Today I am going to do that because it is not political. It is more spiritual than political, but we're seeing a vast opening of God opening the doors. He is truly opening the doors that cannot be shut. Isaiah 22, verse 22, our verse last week, you got to look it up. I mean, he's doing it right now, and he's shutting doors that cannot be opened. He's opening doors that cannot be shut. Thank you, Lord God. Well, this email from Mark led me to Telemachus. Telemachus is a beautiful, short monk who lived during early ages, right after the Dark Ages. And I want to read the whole story. I'm not going to do anything less than that because it is so good. For several years, traditional moderates and Democrats have been turning away from the messaging of the leftist party, now controlled by radical Marxists. And some of the Democrats don't know what to do because they do not want to be Marxists and they do not want to be socialists. They want to be part of a Democratic Party that was started hundreds of years ago. So almost everything they created as a point of advocacy made their following spiral into a self-diminishing circle. I mean, they are swirling down into the bottom of the barrel. And Democrats are the party of censorship, gleefully cheering as conservative voices were deplatformed, demonized, targeted by the social media system operators who controlled the public square, targeted by an aligned government and mainstream media, and evidenced in their full-throated demands around the COVID-19 madness. Oh, I read through some of my journals from 2020 and 2021. We soon forget about all that. We soon forget about people yelling in the aisles of the grocery stores, "Get your mask on. Put on that mask." I mean, I was yelled at, and going into the post office, "Get that mask on." And see, they were trying to control us. We will not be controlled like that anymore. Our children, the Gen Z generation, have grown up in all this censorship. Oh, that's all they've known. They say, "You don't know who you are, so we will decide whether you're male or female. You are supporting Hamas because Israel is evil and promoting genocide. You can't depend on adults to tell you the truth. You can make up your own truth, and we will help you make a stand." That's what they've heard for years and years, my friend. The left has furnished the young people of the U.S. to fit into their mold of woke and DEI, diversity, equity, built on race, not merit, and inclusion. All learn at the same level, no matter what your IQ, no matter what your ability. And there is and was no more free thinking. For years and years in the classroom, in college, it's all controlled. And this is especially true in the school classroom and in the college level teaching. Democrats cheered as government collaborated with tech donors to diminish their opposition, while simultaneously they affirmed some of the evilest enterprises around DEI, toxic advocacy for transgender and LGBTQ plus ideology. See, these precious children think that the left is for them and they're allowing them to mutilate their bodies. But oh, my friend, it's becoming worse and worse for those who have taken their bodies and used them, weaponized them. Socially, their policies became increasingly toxic and ridiculous. And as they descended this spiral, Democrats became increasingly dangerous, and the outcome of their advocacy was not in alignment with anything resembling domestic tranquility. None of this is questioned by serious people who have watched the last 18 years unfold. The leftist ideology is abusive in the extreme. When George Floyd died, there were riots of destruction and death in the streets of America from the radical left. And when Charlie died 2 weeks ago, there was prayer and new commitment to God. Despite our lack of control over the power centers, the MAGA tent expanded as the party of the individual, not the collective. They're looking at the individuals, not the huge amount of population that we don't see really often. I was thinking of John F. Kennedy when he died of an assassin's bullet. And because we didn't know him personally, we had not heard him as a individual, we forgot about him soon after because Johnson became president. But here we're seeing an individual who influenced millions of people. Millions. I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it, but he did. And the toxic abusers held power, but culturally they were losing and are losing control. And it's I believe the young people of America want freedom. They want free speech, really, truly free speech. And they want common sense back in their lives. They want truth. I heard from several young people who said, we're seeking truth now. We're sick and tired of what has been told us in the classroom. And I realize that something new is happening. I see a new flow in America. Then, you know, when a 22-year-old radical leftist, fully indoctrinated for 18 years of social Marxist education, shot the Christian representation of the MAGA rebellion, Charlie Kirk, in the neck, killing him in front of millions, we saw something happening. We saw we are not going to die. We are not going to walk away from this. We are going to rise up. And you saw that yesterday. If any of you were listening to the wonderful 5.5 hours of programming, not only honoring Charlie, but the Lord Jesus. Oh, I ask that you go online and watch that. Well, here's a story of Telemachus. He was a Christian monk from Asia, and thank you, Mark, for sending this email to me. I appreciate it so much. He went to Rome and saw the gladiator games at the Colosseum, Telemachus. He watched the brutality of men slaughtering men, animals ripping the flesh and limbs from humans, while 80,000 in the audience cheered. That's the Colosseum, the amount that of people that were in the Colosseum cheering this on. As a Christian, Telemachus was horrified. Telemachus cried out, "In the name of Christ, stop!" Yet his voice was lost in the roar within the great Colosseum. He descended the stairs, made his way to the edge of the arena, jumped down, and stood between two gladiators. "In the name of Christ, stop!" he declared. The crowd jeered, whistled, and shouted down to the much smaller monk. But Telemachus would not relent. "In the name of Christ, stop," he desperately kept repeating. The angry jeers of the crowd turned violent, and they threw stones upon Telemachus. But the monk would only reply, "In the name of Christ, stop." The stoning continued to rain down upon the small Asian monk until Telemachus was dead. His only recorded words were, "In the name of Christ, stop," until he was dead. Telemachus's body was dragged away. The games continued, but that moment, changed how many perceived the brutality that took place within the Colosseum. The horrific injustice of the events forever changed how the bloodlust within the venue was evaluated. Thereafter, Emperor Honorius recognized Telemachus's martyrdom. This ruler, this emperor, he realized that these words, "In the name of Christ, stop," he realized how important they were, and he ended the gladiator games. This emperor ended the gladiator games because of the yelling of, "In the name of Christ, stop." Right now, within our political system, in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's murder, there are two aspects that need to be reviewed: the cultural impact and the policies of it all, the politics. And we need to look at that with truth. Ask God for truth in our lives. When we realize the real spiritual impact of a dying process, we realize that humility, what humility is all about. We realize the truth in Revelation 12, verse 11. "And they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they didn't value their lives even to the death." If dying will bring about a miraculous reform, then let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's stand there saying, "Prove me wrong. Stop in the name of Christ." Telemachus was one who dared to confront evil, and in his death, as in Charlie Kirk's death, great change and reform came from a society caught in a death stream. Do you know that if the far left would have gotten their way, there would not be any United States of America that our forefathers bled and died for? But God, as so many of you say, but God, let's not say that under our breath any longer. Let's shout, but God, knowing that he's the only one who can redeem and cleanse this land from wickedness. We've seen a wave of unity in the last week that I have not seen, even after the death of John F. Kennedy, and I remarked about that earlier on this program. The country went back to what they'd been doing because another guy took over as president, and we just went back on our merry way. This last week, I've seen a wave of patriotism and loyalty that cannot be extinguished. And I'm so blessed that I've been able to see it. I'm here and alive to be able to see it and to see the flow of joy and peace and hope for the future of this great country. Ken Miedema sings a song, Through the Eyes of Love. I see America through the eyes of love. And I want you to listen to him.
White sand beaches near the town where I was born, and I've seen the springtime forests fresh and green, and I've walked along the highways by the fields of standing corn, and I've breathed the mountain air so fresh and clean. I've been in other places where it's hard to breathe the air, and the high-rise Holocaust blocks the morning sun, and the little ones play in dirty streets and no one seems to care. America's children, look what we have done. Dauntless pilgrims as they came from foreign shores and braved the raging peril of the sea. Yes, I've seen them suffer hardship and risk their lives in war in order that a people might be free. But I've seen how first Americans were driven from their land, and I've seen the slave ships come from far away, where tyranny is still alive and there's hate on every hand. We must work to end oppression's day. Her dreams grew strong and tall, and I've seen them teach their children so the dream would never fade, and I've seen them stand to answer freedom's call. But I've seen how greed and carelessness can wipe the dream away, create a living nightmare in its stead. Up, children, dream again. It's time for us to say, though some may scoff, the dreamers are not dead. Oh, I see America.
Thank you, Lord. You don't solve hate with hate. And that's one thing that Erica Kirk said. She said that yesterday. And when she was standing there at the last, and she actually said, "I forgive his assassin." I mean, there I was again, bawling again. It's an amazing spiritual alignment going on right now in every person who has been through this last week. And you have realized that such different thoughts and opinions may not be what God has established and prepared for his people. Many people are in self-deception, even when they believe what they believe. In the last 3 weeks, we've seen a young 22-year-old believe that Charlie Kirk was evil, and he put his thoughts into action, murdering a beautiful, patriotic American. Tyler Robinson was filled with self-deception, and I'm going to talk about that tomorrow. Self-deception is something we need to get rid of. And if you see something in a by a warped mentality that you have established because you've listened to the wrong people, we're going to talk about how to get rid of that self-deception and be honest with yourself and truthful with yourself. I'm also going to talk about the self-deception in the story of James Craig, who lived in a beautiful million-dollar home in Aurora, Colorado, and he poisoned his wife, Angela, the mother of his six children, over several months with potassium cyanide. I'm going to talk about him as well. So join me tomorrow. We're going to learn more about self-deception. God bless you and keep you, and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.